Welcome to Reels and Heels with your hosts, Tristan Lynn and Rebecca Scott. Each week we talk about topics that span a variety of issues that we feel are important. This podcast is for adults only. You should be at least 18 years old to follow us on this journey. So kiddos, stop listening, go grab your parents. This is for them.
Hi, this is Rebecca Scott.
And I'm Tristan Lynn. Welcome
to Reels.
Why are you laughing? Don't laugh at me.
Because you, why did you pause?
I didn't pause. It paused. I just did a little welcome to Grizz. Anyway, let me not get my life all adjudicated at this point.
So you guys, we are actually trying to do this podcast virtually. So we're testing this out to see how it goes. Maybe we're going to use this. Maybe we won't. Who knows? But this week, we're going to talk about some different things and see how well this goes. You ready, Tristy Lynn?
Oh, I'm ready.
Okay. So let's talk about our last week. What were you just saying? You got to give yourself a pep talk every single day now?
I mean, okay. So here's where I am in this whole teach the future, get your life together, be a carer, and all of this. Nobody caring about me. Nobody's worried about me. It's like we out here hustling these kids up, and then they send us a little email that says, "I mentally not, I can't handle this." And I'm thinking, me neither. I didn't sign up for this. My head hurt.
Right. Girl,
I literally have woken up every day this week and went, man, I've been sucking my teeth and rolling my eyes. I'm over it. I woke up this morning, took a shower, washed my hair, did my fresh twists, made breakfast, and then I logged in. At that point, it was 10 o'clock. I'm just tired, okay? I'm over it. I mean, I got on the little chat and was like, good morning, everyone. They don't know that I'm bitter. I'm bitter, though. I'm tired. At this point, I just need somebody to go, nah, we're done. Like, why can't somebody get some balls and say, we're done?
Like, right. We're done. Like, everybody's going to be able to, we're going to go. Like, teachers, check in weekly, but you don't have to do no lesson plan. Just make sure they keep their own momentum going, but they don't lose anything. You know, just, it's, what we're doing right now is just too much. And it's too much. I'm tired. Like, today I sit there and I stared at my laptop and I was like, I'm not going to open it. I got to open it. Like, I had anxiety about opening my laptop and looking to see how many emails I had. I'm like, I don't
know. Because you're sick of it. And then you're sick.
I still got to do meetings. I still have to do meetings.
Okay. I'm not trying to one-up you, but I'm going to. Just for 2 minutes, because people need to understand the level of stupidity I'm dealing with right now. Oh, we can't never release this if my face is on this, because I'm about to talk cash money. Let me tell you what is absolutely frustrating. I meet with my content team. Last week, we met 3 times, and then they wanted to meet again on Sunday. I'm cool. I'm good on that. I'm not doing it, because we keep talking about the same shit. Mm-hmm. Over and over again. And we're going to do this project. And we're going to do this project. And we're going to do this. And we're going to do... And they're nice people. See, this is how I know it's me and not them. These are nice people. But I hate them at this point because I'm sick of them and their little suggestions about what we need to do next. Leave me alone. That's what we need to do. You need to leave me the hell alone and let me live my best life. Okay, I'm sorry. That was a lot. I did a lot right there.
Yeah, so teaching during this whole pandemic is a little stressful. Like, we didn't sign up for this. And it's too much. They want us to still act like we're not going through our own life. Like, what if we're having our own anxiety and depression we have to deal with? Because our life is spinning, but we got to put on this big old face and smile and still teach the kids while our life
and worry about them.
Mm-mm-mm.
Hashtag over it. I'm literally over it all, because at this point, let's chop it up to a loss.
Right.
I don't think any parents are going to be mad about it. I don't think any kids going to be mad about it. But you know what? We're going to be done in about a month, but really probably like 3 weeks, right? And so for me, I'm like, this is super annoying. Like, I had so many plans. Like, I'm still, again, I still haven't gotten over the fact that I don't get to take my trip this summer. I don't care if Georgia's deciding to open up or not. I'm not opening up nothing. God bless them. Hey, how you feel about the shelter in place being lifted?
Okay. So, everybody else in the podcast world, we are based here in Georgia. And let y'all be little test monkeys to see who gets sick and who dies.
They gonna be test monkeys because Tristan Lynn gonna be at her house, honey. Complaining about being
at the door. Rebecca Scott, I'm staying right here. Like, even what it makes me even more weary about even going outside now. Now I feel like it's gonna be too many people out there. Like, my whole little run to the grocery store gonna be so much longer now because everybody gonna be out there because they tired of being in the house and they're idiots.
Instacart, girl. Instacart can change my life. I don't know if I'm ever walking up these steps again with groceries. Because, honey, I'm fine. Okay, y'all done got on my nerves. I'm over it.
Oh, but it's just, oh, gosh. Just lost my train of thought. But I think it's going to be crazy that how we're going to be. I'm still going to stay here and be in my house and only go to the certain houses that I actually go want to go to. But I don't know if I even do that then. Because now I'm afraid about the other people being out too much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
see, that's a good point to me because it's not always where you're willing to go, but it's the people you're willing to bring in your space, what they willing to do.
Right.
That's why I say I'm quarantined in place, but I include my boyfriend's house in the quarantine in place because that's the only place I go because guess what only place he go? Right here. Okay? Mm-hmm. So his boys are safe because it's just here and there. And we've been sick the past month and some change, so I know we good.
Right. Now,
the second some more people try to come into the fold, I'm going to go ahead and vibe gracefully and go back to my house. And he know that's how I feel. I'm not playing this game.
So in your heart of hearts, what?
In my heart of hearts, I'm just very stressed about the whole situation just because I'm just kind of over it. I'm kind of over every aspect of it. I'm over the people. I'm just over everything, child. I just want to be free.
Okay, so I was 95 South just last night. I'm going to ask you, what have you learned about yourself in this last month? What has this taught you?
That's a really great question, actually, because I think the one thing that this has taught me and really brought to my, which I already knew this about myself, but I think it's gotten worse. I get very fixated on things. And it's a good thing when you guys, you know, stuff going on and you're like, okay, this is my goal. But I have like gone into like crazy mode, like thinking about moving into buying a house and stuff like that. So that's like been, I've been very consumed with that because no longer do I get to go on my vacation. So that has subsided. I'm the kind of person I always need something to look forward to, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a good thing, but it can also become very obsessive. I have been procrastinating like hell. My procrastination has like shown its ugly head. I think that for me is a defense mechanism because it has just like reared its ugly head as far as like, oh, stuff get done at the last minute. Or just like even like laundry. Like I have a wash and dryer in my house. I should have been doing laundry every other day or something like that. But no, I wait till almost everything dirty. Mm-hmm. And then I wash it all at one time. It's only 5 loads. It's just me. So it's only 5 loads of clothes, but it's just stuff like that. Like those things depend. So that's why I'm trying to give myself alternative ways to like calm it down. I've watched way too much TV. And I knew I watched a lot of TV, but before the quarantine, remember, I was working part-time. So I never got my weekends to kind of relax. Uh-huh. So what's been really hard for me is that adjusting back to being in my own space. And that's been a lot for me. So that's why I bought a puzzle. And, you know, I've been trying to listen to music more and, you know, just kind of really like reflect and calm down.
Mm-hmm. Because you're the type of person who always had to stay busy.
Yes. And you know, this is pretty much the equivalent of me during the summertime without no money to go nowhere. Last summer, I almost lost my mind. I literally almost lost my whole mind because I couldn't go out of town because I just moved. And it was a lot. You know what I'm saying? But, and you know that I was at your house mostly because you had gotten hurt. Mm-hmm. I was just at coming to your house. So, I mean, let me give you a little insight. Yes, I did that because I loved you, but I also needed that as an outlet for myself to go and get outside of my home, too. Mm-hmm. Because just it was getting ugly. It was getting real ugly. But, I mean, I've learned a lot about myself, but mostly just reiterating the things I already kind of knew about myself of I hate to be alone. That's definitely has reiterated. But I've also kind of enjoyed kind of doing my thug thizzle too. Like, I don't feel like I'm as dependent on my boyfriend as maybe he even thinks I am. Because, like, I'll just be, like, chilling. Mm-hmm. Like, chilling. Like, I'm just going to gauge. I'm going to, what is that, binge on this good point of interest. Like, I literally have been watching the show. And so that's why I was like, okay, I need to break it up. But I don't know. I love him and I love being around him. But I literally can be in the same space and not even have to talk to him. I just like him being here, honestly. But that's me. That's what I've learned. What have you learned?
Okay, so about myself, I've learned that I would normally probably be freaking out, but I learned that I have processed and I've got some great coping skills to deal with the madness around me. I've learned
that's good.
Like, I could be freaked out. I could be a lot of things right now, but I'm like very calm about stuff. And I realize that I've came a long way. Not saying I have a lot of stuff to work out, especially when it comes to my anxiety, because this whole teaching thing online, I just don't feel competent. Like, and I hate feeling incompetent. Like, seriously.
It makes me feel like I don't have all the tools. Right. And since I didn't sign up for this, I just don't think I'm doing my best. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's very hard when it comes to teaching, because it's something I literally, you know me, I freak out about a big, like when we have a big observation or something. But go ahead, I'm listening. Ooh, girl. Off the train. Just, I'm nervous.
I also learned that, like, I don't talk about before, but our last podcast was like me and 95 South relationship, like not being together. So what I've learned this last month is that actually being around him.
Uh-huh. You what? Say it again.
I enjoy actually being around him.
Okay.
And I think he's learning a little more about me probably than he would have to, because we're forced in, not that we're forced, but we're spending a lot of time together that we probably wouldn't have spent together before all this happened, because we have so much free time now. Mm-hmm. But I've learned that I'm still hesitant about certain things, especially when it comes to relationships. Real hesitant.
Such as?
Being around someone for extended period of times. Like, I know we joked about it before when it comes to me dating people. I do good in long distance relationships. I get tired of them very quickly. And I do believe, I do believe that I'm not ready to do, I know, like, this whole combining households that you would do when you actually trying to be in a committed relationship with someone and you want to prosper together in life, you combine households.
Yeah.
I've been single for so dang long that I can't see myself doing it at this point. Like,
ever? Like, ever?
Like, I don't see it yet. I don't see it yet. And, you know,
that's good. That's interesting.
I care about 95 South, but I just don't. And I tell him all the time, he probably think I'm crazy. I'm like, because, you know, marriage is not a goal for me, so I'm not trying to do that stuff. And I was like, even when it comes to cohabitating, like, that's not, like, a goal. Like, I don't have to, we've been dating for so long, let's make sure we move in together. Like, that's not a thing. So he jokes about it. He was like, okay, so my obituary going to be my little special friend. You know what?
Hey, listen, Miss Dee Dee and Mr. John might have had it right. Back in the day, Miss Dee Dee is Mr. John's special friend. Because, listen, like, I get you. Like, I totally get you.
I do not want to be on somebody's obituary as that special friend.
Oh, now your ass want to type. Okay, I'm sick of you. Because you don't know what you want. I'm sick of you.
No, but for real, like I think he sensed that he likes to be around me, too. Because he literally, like, he just likes to be around me. And I'm cool with that. And I like that. But I think he understands I only can go like 2 or 3 days. Then I gotta like get my own space. Like, I think he's just not realizing that. Cause after like 2 days, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go home. And he's like, are you okay? I'm fine. I just need to go home. Like, you know, I just need to get back to my house. You know? So, but I realize I'm still not at that point. And I don't know if I ever will get to that point.
And you know what's scary about, quote unquote, that point? My sister used to say something. Ooh, I'm about to get in my bag. My sister used to say something all the time. She's like, girl, if somebody gonna marry you, they're gonna have to basically club you over the head and drag you back to their cave because you just be so like, I'm out. And so what ended up happening basically is when I got married, somebody clubbed me over their head. And so it was just so quick. I didn't have a lot of chance to rethink it, process it, because if I did, more than likely, I definitely probably would not have gotten married at that point. But I think it was just like so exciting, so much. I mean, I really can't question why I did what I did at this point, because I did it and I live with it and I move on. But I think it's very much so, we're very good at talking ourselves out of situations that other people deem this is what needs to happen to move forward. Like, I had to really talk to a coach one day because we were talking about something and he was like, well, we spending so much time together. Da, da, da. I said, whoa. I said, let me be clear about one thing. Your time ain't the end all and be all to me. Like, what I'm talking about has nothing to do with it. I'm talking about something else. And just having to have that conversation with him, like, yeah, I love you. Yes, I want to spend time with you, but my whole life doesn't center around your attention.
Mm.
Like, not even a little bit. Like, that's weird. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure as a guy, that is how that feels sometimes. But sometimes maybe your girl is asking for something else that has nothing to do with that. But they've interpreted from every other girl that they've ever dated, this is what this means. And that's just not the case. That's not what that means.
You're right. Because I see that. Because I tell 95 South, I'm like, I think me and my friends are just a whole different breed of women. Because we don't think like normal women that obviously have branded you guys. Like, we don't think like that. He had a scenario one time about, you know, girls not trusting guys and they having daddy issues and stuff like that. I was like, but you know what? That made us bring up the issue, like, people automatically think because my dad and my mom wasn't married, that he wasn't in the picture in my life. Like,
yeah,
I don't know why, though. Like, that really just dawned on me that people really thought that my dad probably wasn't around. And my dad was around. Like, he wasn't someone who didn't talk to us, you know, didn't act like we didn't exist. My dad was always around. And that makes me think, like, I understand, you know, how some women be all like, you know, I don't need a man and blah, blah, blah. You know, the period poos and all those people, right?
Yeah. When they be trying to get a man to do everything in the world for them.
Right.
Instead of talking about, I'm independent. No, you're not. Shut up.
But I think to myself, was their fathers around in some type of aspect? Because that's why we can't relate to them. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, same. Even definitely had a good daddy.
M80 came to me and she was like, well, you know, our dads, you know, they wasn't around. I was like, who's daddy? My daddy was around. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe.
Keep them issues over there. That's right. What I be wanting to tell people.
Your daddy wasn't, but my daddy was always around. I call my daddy, pick up the telephone. But most of the time, people forget my daddy was in the army.
Yeah.
He wasn't around. He was stationed at different places and they got divorced when I was young. So, like, I was able to talk to my daddy, but I hate the stereotypical, your dad's not around, so he must not be around. So you have daddy issues. Why? You know what I'm saying? It's like, why is a culture, why do black people automatically think because your mom or your dad's not married that your daddy done went off somewhere?
And you know what? And that's very, it is very, very, very much so a black thing because I'm confused by people. We don't think if Betsy parents ain't together, we don't go, oh, Betsy daddy probably ain't shit. Betsy daddy don't come around. We don't talk about Betsy daddy because Betsy got a good white daddy. So we just assume white daddy showed up. Now, on this case, this here scenario, I can't speak a lot of things, but I can speak this right here. I know, and I've been in situations to where, like, people expect you, you're 100% right. People expect you to have all these issues, like, yeah, my dad died when I was younger. No, I don't have daddy issues. Like, my dad was a great dad when he was alive.
Right.
So I don't have all of those issues and I might have a little abandonment issues, and I will tell you I do have those. But that's, I mean, what you gonna do? My whole parent died. But, right, that but
that's not making you look at the a whole sex different. You know, that's not...
Hell no. And see, that's the problem. I'm like, why does one have anything to do with the other?
Right.
That's where my scratching my head comes in with that shenanigans. Because I'd be like, how does this equate to this? But, I mean, at this point, I look at our good people in our good community, and I go, these fools is crazy. I don't want to be affiliated nor associated with these here shenanigans, but here we are being affiliated and associated with these here shenanigans. Like, it's like you trying to answer the question for all the black people that you've never met in your life. Well, how come this? And I don't know. 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 And I don't know. I don't know why this one is normal and that one's crazy. I don't know. Hopefully one day I will understand why this one is normal and that one is crazy, but today is not the day. It's anti-who, honey. I digress.
So anyway, so that made me think, like, why is the culture do if they people automatically think if daddy's not around and you have issues. Like, especially me, my brashness or whatever, like, oh, you must have daddy issues. No, I don't. Like, my daddy wasn't the typical daddy. Like, he wasn't a strict daddy. He was a daddy that would cuss everybody out in town and drink and, you know, fight. Like, but he wasn't a bad daddy. Like, you know, he wasn't.
Sometimes people need their asses cussed out. I feel it. You know what I'm saying?
Like, that strict daddy. He wasn't a daddy that, you know, I couldn't call him. Like, I felt like I talked to my daddy about anything, which made it so weird that now that I'm adult, he questions my boyfriend. And I'm like, you wait until I'm, you know, in my late 30s before you start questioning my boyfriend?
Here's the thing. I think he's basically saying you messed up before, so I need to be involved. I think that's where my brother is with it, too. Like, at first I was just like, I don't understand this because this is not been your typical thing. But I think what happens is men who love you have seen you go through these shenanigans with these fake ones. And so they don't want to see you go through them shenanigans again. Does that make sense?
Makes sense.
So then it's now, instead of me trying to tell you what to do, I'm just trying to intersect on the foolishness. Mm-hmm. Like, can I get this fool to avoid you? Can I get him to go on by his business? Can I, you know, I think it becomes that type of scenario. They're not trying to run your life. They just trying to help you not be as hurt anymore. Because I think a lot of times, men in our life that love us, they've seen us go through these shenanigans and they just want to make it better.
Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I get it.
He can't help but get that. I mean, I'm just saying, the only reason my ex-husband's still walking around and my sister's ex-husband is because my dad is not alive.
I understand that.
You know how we get down over here.
Mine is just not allowed in the state of Georgia. But anyway.
I'm not going there with you.
Mm-hmm. I love
you. Don't drop that and move on. You don't drop that and move. You don't drop that and move on.
Okay, so. Mm-hmm. So we're discussing the whole about the pandemic and what we learned, and I learned that I think at certain points I might be ready for certain things, relationships, and I might not be. Like, it's, I can tell you right now, the whole relationship with 95 South has opened me up to think different things about relationships.
Such as?
There are people, or like, he is a person that I can literally talk to about anything I want to talk to, and mm-hmm. he will offer intellectual insight. Like, whatever he talks about, it's all about, I don't know, like, he's like teaching me something. You're like he's making sure my brain power matches his brain power, which he already knows it does. But it's like, it's weird from being in relationships where I really realized that I really dumbed myself down a little bit. I realized
Girl,
this discussion, I was like, me and him, I was like, you know what, I really realized I really dumbed myself down because I wanted to not step on toes, and you know, you can't be as smart as a man because, you know, his little fragile ego is gonna be hurt because you're too smart. And you know, during my whole marriage, it was always thrown in my face, oh, you just got a degree, so you think you better than me. What? No,
you should have been like, yes, I am better than you. It's not because of the degree, you whole ass fool. It's because I'm just better. But I feel what you're saying on that one. It's that I don't ever want to step on your toes because somehow your manhood is tied into if I can be subservient. Like, what is that about?
Right.
You ever notice that? Like, how subservient can you be? It's almost like, you know, when they break a horse, they break their spirit so that they can tame them and keep them under control. Mm-hmm. It's the same, but you don't see a strong woman and go, oh man, she's dope. I want to raise her up. You see a strong woman and go, she need to be taken down a peg. That's interesting. What type of wholeness is in your spirit? Because that's a whole ass, excuse my language, that's a whole ass nigga move right now. Let me just take her down a peg. She a little bit too feisty for me.
Think about in your marriage, you know, in your formal thing. Did you not dumb yourself down a little bit for him? Did you not?
Now that I never had to dumb myself down, but I had to very much so be very subservient. But I never had to dumb myself down. He just took advantage of my intellect to make money off of me. But no, now that's one thing I never had to do. I never had to dumb myself down, but I might as well have dumb myself down because I really felt like so much of me was being taken away. I wasn't even like myself anyway. So
And maybe I should say not be yourself, not dumb yourself down. But like, I thought that your whole point in your marriage was that you feel like you couldn't talk. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely was always a situation. Well, I'm not going to say that. It was always a situation of what can I do to break her down today? How can I make her feel like a whole piece of shit today? That's literally how I used to feel like he woke up like, what are we going to try today? Let's see if this works today. And that's a sad existence to have with somebody who's supposed to be the person that loves you. It's really, really sad. And it's very detrimental to you because I don't know how long it takes to get that out your system, but it's been a work in progress. And there's still times now that I'd be like, man, I'm good. Like I go into this frame of reference of just, I just want to be by myself because that pain of relying on somebody, being good at somebody and they just take advantage of you, that's like the worst feeling on earth. And right. I just don't ever want to deal with it again. Like, I just don't want to deal with it again. I don't want to deal with somebody making money off of me. I don't want to deal with somebody taking advantage of me. I don't want to deal with somebody, you know, thinking they're smarter than me, so they're going to use me for everything I got and then use me up and then I'm no good. Like, it's the worst feeling to feel used and mistreated on a daily basis. So I'm Gucci on that. Like, you can have all that, bro.
Okay.
Like,
so because of the horrible experiences we have done, you know, that shaped us into who we are, I do not think enough people realize that divorce is trauma.
Even if you don't want to be married to that fool no more, it's something that didn't happen. It's a lot. It's just
like,
a lot.
It's traumatic. No matter what it is, it's traumatic. And it's like, people who have not been through it, they really cannot understand. They can sympathize with you, but they cannot understand exactly what that trauma is, what your whole mind frame changes. Because everybody gets married. You get married because you want a union. You get married because you want to spend the rest of your life with this person. You want this person to be your decision maker and help you make a decision for the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? So when that gets taken away, that's very traumatic. Like, you didn't picture your life going any other way. So you just have to adjust. And it's like a lot of stuff, and it changes you. It really changes you. And
that's the thing I don't think people are ready for either. That change that is going to happen. That change that happens, it's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. You go through a huge transformation after you been married and you got a divorce, a huge transformation. And it doesn't matter how long you've been married. It doesn't matter, you know, how long you've known that person. You go through this transformation about yourself because whenever the traumatic experience happens, when you guys are going your separate ways, there is something in your mind that says, you know, what did I do? You know what I'm saying? Like, what did I do that made this mess up? So you have that guilt or you have that thought in your head that you did something. You know, and sometimes it doesn't go away. And it's hard to realize that you're not yourself because of that. You know, like, you really lost something. Because when you merge together with someone, you you're not supposed to lose something, but you really do if it's the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's deep.
If it's the wrong person, you really lose some part of yourself, because it's like you have to, I don't know, conform to whatever pleases them. Or like, if it's the wrong person, it's the wrong person. You know what I'm saying? You don't realize that right away, but it is. Unlike when it's the right person. And I want to touch on, like, how do you know when it's okay? How do you know when it's time for you to love again? Like, what actually happens, especially after you've done, you had the whole trauma of divorce? Like, what does it really take?
If I'm being 100% honest with you, I probably was not going to try again. I was just probably going to just live my best life and, you know, maybe be a little touch of a thought. I mean, I'm not saying all the way, but definitely probably would have been in these streets. The problem is there was somebody out here that loved me and wanted to love me and wanted to be good to me, that I just couldn't deny that. And what was crazy about it was it happened so quick and so organically that I don't even think I was like mindful of it coming, and everybody around me saw it but me. That might be the most frustrating part, that everybody saw it. Everybody's like, oh, what about him? And I was like, girl, but I know, like, he ain't thinking about me, like, whatever, about that person like that. But I don't know that I can say there's a specific timeline. There's a specific, like, thing to know. I feel like you have to listen to yourself. I think the way to get through this, the way to freak this out, is by being honest with yourself, listening to those things that happen, and really, like, backing yourself up. But I'm going to tell you the thing that helped me more than anything. You ready? This is super deep. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't give a fuck what nobody think about me. Doesn't matter. Who are you? Doesn't matter to me. And that was something I never had before. I thought I had it, but trust me, now I really don't give a shit. Like, it's so funny because my mama keep trying to back me into a corner about where I'm moving when my lease is up. And I keep going, I don't know. I'm still trying to figure it out. I know exactly where I'm going. She knows where I'm going. But she want to play this damn game. So since I'm grown and you grown and I'm going to do what I want to do regardless, I'm just going to pretend to play this game with you on a continuous basis anytime you feel the need to ask me a question. Because she is the queen of, I don't know why folks be asking you to lie to them. So clearly you want me to lie to you. So I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just going to pretend like I don't know. And you going to pretend like you don't know. You know. You know like I know. So, like, girl, bye. Like, stop.
You know what? And I think that's what helps me too. Like, when I stopped giving a fuck years ago, it changed my whole perception of life. I stopped giving a fuck around 2018. Like, really, it took me a long time to not give a fuck. You know, I was still mean. I still was witty and sassy, and I could still cuss you out and, like, not care if I hurt your feelings. But then it was sort of, my anger was just basically out of my amount of anger I had. Like, no, like, my reaction was based on, if I cussed you out, it's because I was that angry. But I realized not to really give a fuck of what people think, and some of my anger have subsided. Like, I'm not as angry anymore. And I really understand life a lot more. I enjoy life. Because when you really stop giving a fuck about people think, you enjoy your own life. Because it's like, I want to do this. What's stopping me? Nothing. So let me do it. Because I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, you really get to that point where you do life for you. You know?
Yeah. And that's the key I think people are missing. It's like you go through all of this, and I am definitely very guilty of, I don't want people to feel like this. I don't want to disappoint my mama. I'm 40 fucking years old. At this point, if my mama disappointed, she want to be. Because I'm grown. Like, I'm not baby grown no more. I'm not 25 grown, care about my mom. No, I'm 40. So at this point, if my mom, I remember when I was like 25 and my mom found out I was smoking cigarettes, and she was just like, what did I do? Like, and I mean, had like a whole breakdown. It was a whole thing. And I was like, Ma, you did nothing. Calm down. Da, da, da. Now I'm at the point like, all right, come on now, stop. Like, I would probably just be like, okay, you're doing a lot right now. And just move on, because I'm not playing that game with you. Because I watched her just put her life on hold so much. Golly, I'm like, you should have told us, peace out, okay? Peace out.
Well, that's we got you a boot. But so, like, so the whole point, the whole premise of this is when you know it's time to love again. And one of the things to help was not giving a fuck. I really did that. 100%. I stopped giving a fuck. But that made me open my heart to the fact that, I mean, we talked about this before. It was like loving without restrictions. Like,
oh yeah,
made me open myself and say, I can't keep holding myself back for somebody, you know, and I want to give them all of me. And if they can't take all of me how I am, fuck it, you know. So I'm genuine and authentic from the jump. I don't do this whole I'm coy. Oh, look at me. I don't eat. I don't do none of that. Like, you know, you get me straight up. You get me straight up like that. And I think that's what helped you when it came to Coach too, because he was so for you, and you were able to be yourself. Like, you were still, you know, Trissy Lynn, you know, the flirty, you know, Southern Belle,
I can't help that. That's not a game. That's real life.
But you was
still, go ahead. I'm sorry.
To the point where he was like, "Where you been? You sound a little urban now." Like, you, like, so it takes a lot. Like, I realized that you, when you meet people like that in your life, that's a sure sign too. And I think the more trauma you've been through when it comes to divorce, the more the next love has to throw you off your kilter. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like, somebody almost got to come in guns blazing, act like they're going to shoot you. I mean, and I know that sounds dramatic, but you know it's the truth. Like, they got to be so intent with their pursuit of you that it's almost like, girl, clearly I love you. And you like, oh, girl, child, I didn't even know. Like, you don't even be paying attention. Like, I literally was in such a place, and I laugh with him about this all the time. Like, I wasn't even thinking about him like that. I was literally hanging out with him. And so the other day we went through, like, the first time we kissed, I was kind of seeing this raggedy dude. And so I have, you know, I'm a person, I'm going to date one person at a time type of person. Too bad he wasn't like that. This is the dude I was messing with. But anyway, so that's the kind of person I was. So I would be like hanging out with Coach and like, oh, you want to go to brunch? And like, we would, you know, he would pay one time, I would pay another time, I would pick a place, he would pick a place. Like, we would just like hang out and we would talk on the phone and stuff, but it was never about like relationship stuff. We was just talking about life. And the craziest thing for me was when we kissed, let me tell you how clueless I was. I literally did not think that dude liked me. Did not see it at all. When I went to his game over Thanksgiving break, I just thought, I'm being a good friend because I'm a freaking great friend. I'm going to go support him. I'm not doing anything else. You know, it's a Friday night, blah, blah, blah. So I go, and I remember calling you. I was like, girl, yeah, Coach trying to get me a hotel room so that, you know, he got family time. You was like, just go. You know, it is what it is. And I was like, nah, okay. So he gets me a hotel room so I don't, you know, have to come to his house because he had like two sets of his siblings at his house, whatever. And so I am, and at this point, we're friends. So it is what it is. So we go do, I go to the game, you know, they win, whatever, whatever. We go to Waffle House afterwards. And then, like, he literally brings me to my hotel room. We sitting there talking for like 2 hours. Nothing. Just talking. And all of a sudden, he kisses me. I was like, what the fuck just happened? Like, I was so confused because I thought we were friends. Clearly my radar was off. Everything was off. But what was funny was he asked me, he said, what was your thing when you kissed me? When I kissed you, I said, nigga, I was shocked. What do you mean? I was literally shocked because I'm like, what is happening? Like, I wasn't in that space, huh?
We just friends.
Yes, girl. I was to that. We just friends was to the end, girl. I was to the end with that. And everybody around me was like, oh, okay. I would just wish y'all would have told me so I would have been better prepared. It's like y'all left me out there just to figure it out. And I don't like that. I wouldn't have done y'all like that.
But it happened.
But anyway. But it was a fact. And I will say this as far as relationships. Coming out of like marriage and stuff like that, I was probably never going to date anybody new. Unless it was like some time and some experience over a while, because I don't trust people very easily. So coaching somebody that I really trusted with my heart, with me, just a good guy. And so for me, it was very easy for me to have my guard down, because I'm like, oh, it's my homeboy. But it did. I mean, it definitely happened to me, and I definitely didn't recognize it. And it definitely made me feel a little slow from time to time, because I'm just like, I cannot believe this is actually happening. I still can't believe it.
That same reaction. Like the people who, after a divorce, that next love came out of nowhere. Like, I wonder if that's really, like, are we so oblivious to what's happening around us that we just think everyone just want to be friends because of where we are? I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. I literally thought, man, listen, this is what I needed. What was crazy was what I needed was a friend. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even like he's being a creepster or anything. Like, he literally was not trying anything with me. We were legit, like, hanging out for a month. Before he tried to kiss me, and I was just like, what is happening? It's like, why is this happening? Like, what is going on? But I don't know. I will say I was slow to the park. But once I got to the park, then it was all good. But yeah, it definitely took me a minute, but I don't know if I ever will feel worthy of love again, because I wasn't in love with my ex-husband. He was not in love with me. He was quite terrible to me. And so what it made me feel like was, I'm not worthy of this thing that I give. Mm. I didn't get it, but I gave it. So I just put myself in a mind frame of, well, maybe I'm not worthy of reciprocation of this particular love. And now that I get reciprocated times two, I'm just like, bro, this is insane. Mm-hmm. Like, why was I doing that? That was stupid.
Yeah, like, why were you putting up with so much shit before when you got this goodness that's obviously out there in this world? Like, girl, it's crazy. Yeah,
but I'm also, when it comes to that, when are you ready again? I think that also makes you go, yeah, I'm not taking that bull no more. Like, that bullish, you can keep that over there, homie. I'm good. Like, I'm not playing with you. Like, I'm not playing with you. Act like you ain't gonna call me back. Act like you gonna be shady. Act like you gonna do any of that. You gonna be doing that right by yourself. Because I don't play them type of games with people. Mm. Like, I'm coming in, guns a-blazing, heart aflame with your ass. So, I'm giving you all I got. But I ain't got time to play. And I think when you are with somebody, and that's the thing of, I'm not playing no games with you. Like, I don't know if I have, not that I was a game player before, but I don't think I have a lot of, I didn't have any more game in me. I had no more trying to get over on me. I had no more turn of the cheek. I ain't got no more cheeks to turn. Let Coach act crazy. I'm going to act a damn donkey and then walk off. I'm going to act so stupid. Y'all going to be like, why are you acting like you ain't got a home training? Because that's how I'm going to act, straight like a donkey and then gone by my business. Oh, but before I go, you better believe I'm going to make a damn scene on your ass. Oh, I'm going to make a scene because I wasn't bothering nobody. I wasn't bothering nobody. And I always stick to this one thing. I didn't pursue nobody and I wasn't bothering nobody. So if you get me set up to hurt me, bruh, I'm going to cuss you clear out and go on by my business. Because I wasn't bothering nobody. I didn't come pursue you. I ain't never pursued a man. Not once in my whole life. So if I wasn't pursuing you, why would you come around me with that fuckery? Don't come around with that fuckery if you know this ain't what you want. I just need people to do better about, you know, that person ain't what you want. Leave them alone. Don't bother them no more. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let them live their best life. Just leave them the fuck alone, though. Like, that's why I am in life. Like, I might fight a random person if they mess with somebody hard. I might be that psycho that's like, why would you do that? Because it just seems very unfair to me to play with people's emotions and stuff like that when folks ain't do nothing to you. Like, I remember the one nice thing my ex-husband said to me when we were in the getting, we were separated and we were still living in the same area of town, and he like saw me on the freeway and I didn't see him. And I guess I was in my car like singing and just like, you know, happy, super happy. And he like texted me and was like, I'm so sorry. Like, he was like, I just saw you. He's like, and literally it reminded me of the girl that I met that just happy about life. And I feel like I've come along and messed that up completely. And I was like, you didn't have to say thank you. And I appreciate you for saying thank you. But it's all good. Like, I'm past it. I'm over it. Like, you good. Uh-huh. And so it was just an interesting, like, going back and forth with him, because I think he literally saw in his mind, like, if I do this, maybe she'll just be like, you know what? Let me give you no, bro, I'm done. Now, the one thing about me is, now, I dig my heels in. Like, I would never have gone back to my ex-husband for nothing in the world. Nothing. There is not an amount of counseling. There is nothing. Once I said I was gone, I was gone. And everybody kept saying, I mean, are you sure? I mean, are you sure? I mean, are you sure? Like, and I was like, oh, yeah, no, I'm out. And all y'all was like, oh, okay, for real. Yeah, no, I'm done, bro. Like, you don't need me. And since you don't need me, I don't need you. Let me go on about my business. But that's a, when I get to that point, I'm done, hell and high water could come, and I would never. But I don't know. I digress.
That's you put up with stuff you don't want to put up with no more when it comes to loving again and doing the shit that you fucking did and putting up with dumb people.
Because at what point is enough?
Everybody will realize that. I hate the fact that people sometimes they don't feel like they're ready. And because like my last relationship with Bear, it was all of, they know I'm a good person. They know I'm a good woman. They know I'm good, but they know they can't, they're not up to par with where I'm at.
Okay, I have a theory about that. If you meet me and you think I'm cute and we kiki, blah, 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 but then you realize, oh, no, she's a gem. Why would you bother me? You should pack your folder of foolishness and get the fuck on. Because you know, especially in that type of situation of, yeah, you just so good, I don't want to leave you alone. But you ain't got shit to offer nobody. So you should leave me alone. Right. This is your cue, brother, to get on. Like, you should leave today. You should leave right now. I shouldn't even be thinking about you because you're an idiot.
No, but it's like, I don't know. Like, I don't get why some people just can't. And
can't do what? Let go.
Like, you said, you know, don't bother me, but some, I guess it's a male ego sometimes too. Like,
girl, they think they deserve goodness when they ain't been good to nothing and nobody. They think they deserve something. I don't know why. That always blows my mind with people like, what is it that you think you deserve that somebody else don't deserve? What is it that you have done that's so special and so spectacular that you shouldn't be out here on your ass? You know what I'm saying? Like, you a whole dick, bro. Like, I mean, let's call a spade a spade. Like, people in their shenanigans.
Yeah, I guess. So, anyway. So, you guys, you listen to Grills and Hills podcast with your hosts, Tricelia and Rebecca Sky. Catch us each week as we talk about more interesting topics. Thanks for listening.
Bye.